faithful, you've been true, and you've done all that you could do. And for your faithfulness, it's your time. You applauded for the rest. Now it's your time to be blessed. And for your faithfulness, it's your time. You've been faithful.
This is Light to Guide Our Feet, the 24/7 Authentic Christian Ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. I am Pastor Clarence William Page, and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear now the word of the Lord as recorded in Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14, the reading begins at verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one, and bringeth me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest, till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fall from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not wake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Job chapter 14, verse 12. Job chapter 14, verse 12. So man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. O thou that wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again. All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. For now thou numberest my steps. Dost thou not watch over my sin? My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sewest up mine iniquity. And surely the mountain falling cometh to naught, and the rock is removed out of his place. The waters wear the stones. Thou washest away the things which grow out of the dust of the earth, and thou destroyest the hope of man. Thou prevailest forever against him, and he passeth. Thou changest his countenance and sendeth him away. His sons come to honor, and he knoweth it not, and they are brought low, but he perceiveth it not of them. But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn. Job chapter 14, verses 1 through 22. Job chapter 14, verses 1 through 22. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, Holy God, Heavenly Father, Holy God, Heavenly Father, Holy God, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. In the name of God the Father, in the name of God the Son, in the name of God the blessed Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. No viable option. No viable option. Our topic for this worship session, no viable option. There are those of you who do not know Jesus Christ, who look on those of us who are Christian and wonder how we can be so fixated on one philosophy, one person, one God, one way, one doctrine. And you wonder how someone could delimit his life or her life that way. You are enjoying the pleasures of planet Earth, and you have what would be called a very liberal philosophy. You are, as they would say, very eclectic. You are very accepting. You are very open, you would say. You would say that you care about others more than any philosophy, and that if it helps and makes people feel good, generally you would be for. You can't understand, or you don't yet understand, why we act so prudish, so tunnel visionistic, so disconnected, so islandistic, if I may use that word, using the word island. For it appears that some of us live on islands way out in a great sea that has vast and very, very active, large portions of land that are so far away from our island. And then to you, some of us live on islands in the midst of millions, and you cannot understand why one would do that. Why would one be in the midst of millions in a city and yet seemingly separate himself? No other option. No other option. Job was a man that the Bible identifies as being upright. He tried to do good, he loved the good and hated the evil. Yet God allowed Satan to afflict Job. Some of the things that occur or that happen to you are done by Satan. God has in times past suffered Satan to do certain things to people. Satan really wants to kill, to steal, kill and destroy. God has set bounds and boundaries, and God has hedged up many of his people. Satan can't get to them unless, or to us, unless God allows him. There are times when God allows Satan to jerk us around. But God is very observant. Just like when someone picks up your baby and starts tossing him or her up in the air. You may let it happen a little bit, but you are standing by to make sure that that baby doesn't fall, it doesn't get hurt. And if that baby does seem to be falling, you are right there to catch the baby. God sometimes allows Satan to juggle us up in the air and batter us around. But God always has us in his hands. Job, by the time we get to chapter 14 in the book of Job, we know that Job has lost most of his wealth and most of his health. His wife has counseled him to curse God and die. His friends have come and said, in so many words, you must have done something, Job. You must have done something wrong to cause this which has come upon you to have manifested. So he is in a situation that seems to be a losing situation on every hand. Yet he realizes the center truth of all of human existence. And many Christians today have grown to a point of realizing that central truth. No other options. What do you mean, Reverend, no other option? There is no viable option to whom we may go except Almighty God. That's why we are so tunnel visionistic. That's why we are so focus on a unilateral God who is three in one. Not so much that he's unilateral, but he is one, and you would say unilateral, he is eternal and everywhere, so he is omnipresent, and perhaps unilateral does not in any way do justice to him. And yet he is one. Thus the prefix uni. One. He is one God. We understand how to some of you it appears that We're just ignorant because you're using man's wisdom. But just like Job, though God had allowed Satan to afflict Job, Job had the wisdom to realize that he had no other option. No other option. What do you mean, Reverend? I mean that no matter what happens to me, and no matter what God allows to happen to me, I have no other option for my present and future well-being than Almighty God. It doesn't matter where I turn or to whom I look. There is no other option, particularly no viable option. Many people turn to many crutches, and many people look for various sources and avenues and means of help. Doesn't mean that we can't look for resources, but when it comes to God, to the one who can do whatever he decides he wants to do, we have no other option. And that's why some of us, you find us in the default position of God, God, God. Because we realize whether we come to him now for our help, or next week, or next year, or next decade, that our help really will not be effected until we come. And so some of us have gotten wise enough to live in his presence because we understand that he made us. We understand that he's God. We understand, and Job talks about that here, and he asks some very poignant questions. But he ends up, in so many words, admitting that there is no other option. That's why we always go to God. Rather than going last, we now go first. Before we wait until all the chips are down and we've done everything we could and we failed, and then go to God. No, we've learned to go to God first. We've learned to go to the top first. We've learned to go to the best first. We've learned to go to the wisest first. We've learned to go to the most powerful, the all-powerful first. We've learned to go to the holy first. We've learned to go to the true first. We've learned to go to love first. God is love. We've learned to go to him who is plenteous in mercy first. We've learned to go to him who is of great kindness. We've learned to go to him first because we've become wise enough to understand that there really is no other option. That doesn't mean that we don't work with man and work together in teams and plan and strategize in terms of the things we must do on planet Earth. We work with others and we understand the reality of work and being prosperous and being productive here on planet Earth. We understand that. But in all of that, we fully understand that we have no other option. There is no greater option, no wider option, no wiser option, no more loving option, no more powerful option, no more vast option. And so we come to God. Job alludes to that. He is still, in this chapter, he is very much in the midst of great suffering. Great suffering. But he does not. You see, he won the victory when he decided not to take Mrs. Job's advice and curse God and die. Satan will send you messages through the people most close to you. And you must understand that God is your only option. There is no other option. Had he cursed God and died, to whom would he went, or to whom would he have gone? He would have ended up standing before the very God he cursed. And he would not have come out the better for it. He would not have come out the better for it. So we understand that there is no other option. And if we read and discern very closely between the lines of Job chapter 14, we get the feeling that Job realizes there's no other option. Now, Eliphaz is in this conversation, friend of Job, and these words may very well be even from his friend's mouth, but Job imbibes the no other option, the no other option, the no other option. To us, Job is uttering these words. He is reproved by his friend, but Job holds on to his integrity. He has a friend named Zophar. His words are also intermingled in this. Job retorts in so many words that though he is being pressed by God, and though he understands that God is allowing this to occur, he still expresses no other options. His friends seem to feel that man slips away and somehow he may not recover. But Job does not accept those words. You see, no matter who testifies to you or no matter who accuses you, it is important that you remember that there are no other options. So whether it's his friends who are highlighting for him the vicissitudes of life and the nature of life, some which are true and some which are not, for we see logic, we see science, but neither logic nor science fully fills up the cup that is truth. And you've got to be very careful. It sounds like what is being said here, on the one hand, questions whether or not man can live again. On the other hand, it seems to contrast man with a tree. But the end result is that Job holds on to his integrity. People can bring to you many scenarios, and they can cause you, if you will listen to them, to believe as they do, that, well, maybe life as a human being is not so good after all. Maybe the tree is more enduring than the man. Maybe the man goes to the grave and remains there and there is no activity for him until maybe some other future time. But Job maintains his integrity. Let's read now these words. Job here appears to be using them to respond to his friends. They've brought accusations and so forth. And 14 appears to be part of Job's response. And we see Job considering and admitting that Yes, the tree rises again. The man is laid down and does not revive, it appears, as quickly as the tree does. And yet Job ends up saying in so many words, there is no other option. Let's read it once again. Man that is born, this is, if you're just joining me, just joining this service, this is Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14. I would say Job is somewhat empirical here, and yet faith peeks through the cracks. Faith reveals itself in Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14, beginning reading at verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow, and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bonds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. For now thou numberest my steps. Didst thou not watch over my sin? My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sewest up mine iniquity. And surely the mountain falling cometh to naught, and the rock is removed out of its place. Verse 18, Job chapter 14, verse 18, and surely The mountain falling cometh to naught, and the rock is moved out of its place. The waters wear the stones that washes away the things which grow out of the dust of the earth, and thou destroyest the hope of man. Thou prevailest forever against him, and he passes. Thou changest his countenance and sendeth him away. His sons come to honor, and he knoweth it not, and they are brought low, but he perceiveth it not of them. But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn. In other words, I extrapolate from Job's comments, no other option. No other option. That's why we are so focused on God. We have no greater source to whom we can go. And being wise, we go to him first and not last. No other option. No other option but Almighty God. This is Pastor Clarence William Page of Trinity Baptist Church, and you have been listening to Light to Guide Our Feet, the 24/7 authentic Christian ministry of Trinity Baptist Church.
Your faithfulness is your time.